Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
When God had convinced Moses to leave Midian and to return to Egypt, he instructed him, "When you go to return into Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go." Exodus 4:21. We know the great wonders God had given to Moses to prove to Moses that God was with him in his work of delivering the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. The Lord instructed Moses to cast his rod on the ground. When he obeyed the Lord, the rod became a serpent. He picked up the serpent by the tail, and it became a rod again. The Lord then told Moses to put his hand into his bosom. When he pulled his hand out, it was leprous as snow. "And it shall come to pass," the Lord said, "if they will not believe these two signs, neither listen to your voice, you shall take water from the river and pour it upon the dry land. The water will become blood on the dry land." Exodus 4:2 through 9. The wonders God enabled Moses to perform had two main objectives. They would prove that Moses was God's spokesman. They would also show Pharaoh and the Egyptian court the great power of the God Moses represented. The miracles of the Old Testament and of the New were designed to confirm that the messenger was God's representative. For example, the great miracles on the day of Pentecost proved to the Jews who were present that Peter and the other apostles were God's preachers. How else could the Jews have known that the Old Covenant had come to an end and the New Covenant was being instituted? After all, preachers can make audacious claims about their messages and about their abilities. But making claims and sustaining them are two entirely different matters. When the apostles claimed to speak for God, they could restore sight to the blind, ignore the bite of poisonous snakes, and even raise the dead. The miracles they performed removed all doubt about their faithfulness in proclaiming the Word of God. God bore witness to their preaching by miracles, signs, and wonders. Hebrews 2:3 and 4. The miracles also proved to the heathen nation surrounding Israel that the God of Israel was the true God. One of the great scenes in Cecil B. DeMille's outstanding movie, The Ten Commandments, shows the Egyptian Pharaoh sitting on his throne. The queen is taunting him about not killing Moses, whom she hated so intensely. She wanted to see the blood of Moses on Pharaoh's sword. The Pharaoh responded to her inquiries by saying, "He is God. He is God." Even though the Pharaoh had seen a number of miracles before he would allow the Israelites to leave Egypt, he knew after witnessing the events at the Red Sea that the God of Moses was indeed the one and only God. The people of Egypt in the days of Moses worshipped a number of gods, maybe as many as 80. The plagues God sent on Egypt were a direct assault on the idols the Egyptians worshipped. For example, the goddess Hekt, spelled H-E-Q-T, was made in the image of a frog. Frogs were so sacred to the Egyptians that deliberately killing a frog was punishable by death. The Egyptian magicians could arrange for a few frogs, but they could not produce the enormous number Moses brought on the land. The magicians could not remove the frogs that God had sent into the land of Egypt. It should have been evident to Pharaoh and to his associates that they were dealing with a living God, a God who could perform miracles, not a goddess made in the image of a frog. The great miracles of the Bible should strengthen our faith in the love and power of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They should lead us to dedicate our lives in service to Him. John said, "These signs are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name." Thank you for listening to our program today. May God continue to bless and keep you.